Hello and welcome to the latest episode of The Testing Peers. Tonight we're going to be talking about deadlines and what that actually means to us and whether it's a good or a bad thing to actually ignore them or step over them, or you have to keep to them all the time. So today we have three of the regular hosts. So we have Chris.
Hello.
We have Russell.
Hello.
We have myself, David, and we have another semi-regular host, Sam. So welcome, Sam.
Hi, thank you for inviting me again.
Excellent. It's good to have you along. So we thank again our sponsors, Saffron QA, who continue to be our sponsor. They are also here to support us in the testing community. Therefore, should any of our listeners be in the market for a new job in testing or hiring new talent for your team, then please reach out to Ben. He can be contacted via email at ben@saffronqa.co.uk. So please do reach out to him. With regular occurrence, whenever Chris is on, we always look forward to his banter, and hopefully he won't let us down this time. Chris.
Thanks, David. You always set me up for failure. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So very much. So I don't know if you've got any particular weaknesses in your life. Superman has Krypton. I have hay fever. But my relationship with deadlines when I was in school wasn't particularly good. I sort of stretched those things a little bit. But actually, the sort of impetus and the fear of failure at school probably led to me doing some of my best work. And I actually performed better in an examination environment where I couldn't do anything else than in one where they said, you've got 3 weeks to go and do some coursework. What was your relationship with coursework and exams and deadlines at school?
Oh, okay. Coursework I was quite engaged with and liked. Gave me time to think about things, to refine things and iterate over things, I guess. Not terms I'd use back then, but it gave me a chance to get feedback from the tutors and things like that. Exams, dreaded. Didn't enjoy them at all. Pressure, so I just, not avoided, but didn't do much revision for it. So I avoided that sort of side of things and just went, it'll assess what I remember when I try and remember it. There's no foot faking it with revision. That's not testing my memory, that's testing my revision skills. So I use that as an excuse to justify not revising. And I did relatively well with that theory until it kind of got to more advanced levels. And then I needed to kind of do more work, but I was too lazy.
I'm very similar to Russell, actually. I procrastinated at revising and didn't do a lot for my exams and sort of coasted and probably could have done a lot better. In terms of coursework, though, actually, some of my exams, because we were early on in the GCSEs, some of our exams were 100% coursework. And so actually that helped me because I was able to not revise for them to try and remember in the exam, but also then make sure I could do the very best I could and put a bit more time. So I'm probably better with coursework than I am with revising.
I honestly can't remember that much. I do remember that at some point I got better at preparing in time for exams, especially for the important ones. But that's, from my perspective, that's mainly a question of maturity. Well, I'm observing it with my older son right now, where I'm still waiting for this maturity to happen in some way. So I can't really say, but I know that deadlines in that case sometimes help me because otherwise I would just procrastinate forever. And I'm just right now procrastinating, to be honest, because I should prepare a talk and work on that. But instead of that, I'm here on the show and I'm talking to you people, which I really enjoy. And maybe that's not a bad thing. That's the other thing I keep telling myself. Maybe it's not so bad to procrastinate, as long as you don't have this swooshing sound of the deadline passing by, right?
Yes, listener, you join us at a point when all four of us have talks that we need to be delivering. And maybe all four of us haven't quite got ourselves ready. But by the time this is out for you all to listen, we will have done it and we will have all been successful, wonderfully received, get great feedback and feel very mightily relieved. And then we'll go and do it all over again because we love it, really.
All the same, always again.
It's a lot of fun though, isn't it? So, deadlines. Ooh, where do we want to start on deadlines?
Are they evil? Like, by definition, are they a bad thing?
I think they're a necessary evil.
Yeah, I'd agree with Chris. I think, as we talked about, sometimes we procrastinate. So if you don't have a deadline, you just keep on procrastinating forever. But having that deadline eventually does mean that it's done or it's not done type situation. But there is a notorious amount of deadlines for the sake of deadlines. There is amount of times I've seen people say that you need something by close of play, things like that. And it's like, well, realistically, are you going to do something after close of play with it? Is that a realistic, a sensible deadline? What are you going to do at 5:01? Are you actually going to pick up the next morning? And things like that. So there's kind of deadlines for the sake of it sometimes. I do think that in the world we work in software, we're going to come across deadlines, be it legal requirements that you've got to get ready for Brexit. Remember that thing? Or Y2K? That was going back a bit. But there's some times deadline for legislation reasons, things like that. Security patches even. They're often not hard fixed dates, but you want to get that done as soon as possible. So I do think there's a need for some deadlines sometimes. Sometimes, having been a project manager, a delivery manager, the deadline is nothing more than a self-proposed date. And that's where it gets a little bit more tricky, I think.
I'd agree. Deadlines are an interesting thing. You know, it gives accountability. It gives you something to work towards. But in my experience, it's not always a hard deadline. More often than not, it's a sort of, that was an aim towards getting that done. It was... There are certain ones, like legality ones, like you mentioned, that you have to get it done by that certain time, or, you know, a race date, you know, you need to train for a marathon by a particular date. But in terms of work and projects, there is often a little bit of wiggle room. And also with deadlines, it can be the date, but it might not necessarily be everything that the customer or client wanted at that time, for various reasons. So I think borrowing something from Chris, depends on the context and what the client actually wants as to how hard and fast that particular deadline actually is.
It sounds a lot like a tool then, that a deadline is mainly a tool for some reason. And the reasons might be different, but if it's a tool, then one thought that came to my mind is then it should always be helpful, right? Because otherwise it's not a great tool and we should probably get rid of it.
What would you have instead?
Forecasts? Proposals, maybe, rather than deadlines?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because I know the context thing's been said already, but different people, like people need to plan things. Like, right, I've worked in companies where they need to, there's a whole lot of planning needs to be done for a release of, say, like a physical product accompanying some software. And there's a lot of like lead time on those things. It's not just as simple as saying it's done when it's done, or we're agile, so you know, we'll iterate and do those things. Sometimes there has to still be this sort of big major push, and people still need to forecast, to your point, Russell. You can have a long forecast or a near forecast, but it's not very simple. But I have found, going back to the agile thing, some places treat every single sprint as a deadline that's a hard and fast deadline. And so every single end of sprint is a stressful end of sprint because we must have everything releasable at the end of our sprints. Otherwise, we have failed every single sprint. That's quite stressful and not particularly helpful, I would imagine.
And the question is also, what happens if we miss that deadline? And that, again, depends on the context. if I think about catching the bus, then I will use a tool. I will have a deadline for myself. Okay, I need to leave the house by this time, because otherwise I might not catch the bus. But so this is a helpful deadline for me. But to be realistic, what's happening if I don't catch the bus? Maybe I can take the next one, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe
buses are every hour. Then yeah, you've got much more importance to get that bus. Buses are every 2 minutes. Then
yeah,
the impact is less.
But well, then what happens if the bus you're aiming for is the last bus? And this is from personal experience. I arrive there a quarter of an hour early before the expected time of the bus, and it never turns up because it's either already gone even more than 50 minutes early and it's the last bus home. Whose fault is that? Is that my fault because I should have prepared for the deadline earlier and sort of arrived there half an hour earlier before and almost have caught the previous bus?
I think when things are timetabled, I think it's more the bus's fault for being 15 minutes early. If it wasn't timetabled, I think that's a different thing altogether. If you deliver something too early that no one, if it's like, if you deliver a product before the market's ready for it, it'll often fail early, you know, so you've got to get the right timing. But if you've got a schedule of timekeeping, like every sprint should be 2 weeks, you kind of should stick to 2 weeks. If you started doing retrospectives and a demo 2 days early, you'll catch everyone out of the loop. There's a kind of reason for cadence. So, but traffic, like where I've lived, buses would wait until kind of the scheduled time, especially if they were that far ahead of time.
Which they should have done, really, I think, in that.
Yeah.
I've got another example.
I was going to say, were they really early, though? Or did they just tell you that to make you feel like, I'd think they never turned up?
Sounds like Ryanair to me, that does, Russell.
So I've got another example, which is more a sort of a company example. So basically, I worked for a company many years ago, and I had young children at the time, and I booked my holiday for half-term week. And I had it turned down. So I did it plenty of about a month before. I got it turned down because it was the week of the deadline where the software had to be released. And they said, why can't you take it a couple of weeks later when, you know, after the deadline? I said, I can't because my kids aren't off and I want to spend time with them. So anyway, roll on a couple of weeks. The deadline was pushed back. It was pushed back, so therefore I could have taken the holiday because it wasn't actually on that week. It was pushed back by 2 weeks, and the PM that cancelled my holiday happened to have his holiday at that time. So he was allowed to have his holiday through the release because he'd obviously booked it beforehand, and it was pushed back into his holiday, whereas I was not allowed because it was planned for that deadline throughout. And I felt a little bit niked by that. Hence, it's well remembered in my brain.
There's an awful lot here that we're talking about already that reminds me of whether or not I should test something. There's, you know, like impact of change, the cadence of stuff going on, the sort of understanding of the context in these pieces. All of those things help inform whether we should test things. Maybe you automate them, or all those pieces. It's quite interesting that there's a lot of parallels to these things. And, you know, there are things that you probably don't need to test, right? And there's probably things that you don't need to worry about missing the consequences, the impact of that thing failing or not going right are much, much lower. But my goodness, the stress when it's important, you know, catching up the last flight out or something like that, that's a truly, truly terrifying thing to endure. And that's the same with work, right? Like if you've got a major, super important release that's been built up and it's been built up and it's been built up to be this whole behemoth, I guess the feeling is can almost be paralyzing, right? That, you know, you end up becoming much less optimal in the way that you work and the way that you do things because you're second guessing yourself, you're no longer trusting your gut, you're worried about these things, and it affects your personal life as well, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when things grow up in that way, it has a whole lot of consequences. I just remember a project where I was part of, and we worked on months for that, overtime and everything, and the whole tech team said, we are not ready to release. Can we please talk with the customer and everything? And it was said, yeah, okay, we have this deadline, but it's okay, we listen to you, so go to weekend. And we left for weekend, and on Monday it was, oh, by the way, we went live today on Monday, and with all the consequences. So maybe it's a lesson, if you really allow deadlines to become that important and to grow to that point, the chances of very bad things happening because you can't just stop it anymore and you can't move the deadline or you can't reduce the scope or anything are very, very high.
It is one of those things that I think we, the royal we, for people involved in projects, create that tension. They overpromise, they underdeliver, those sorts of things happen, that you suddenly, what goes from a forecast, so we'll be done by the end of the quarter or something, turns into a fixed date that it'll be done by the 31st of September. And that's sold to a customer. Customer then has done things, sales arrangements arranged, contracts arranged on it. And it just grows into this behemoth of kind of dependencies, and all based on someone saying a rough idea, it will be finished by the end of the quarter. Not meaning literally by the 31st of December, just around the end of the quarter mark, give or take a month or two. And suddenly then the pressure's on because no one's willing to change. And it's about understanding estimates. It's about understanding forecasting. It's understanding predictability. And if that date is so critical, then I think you talked about it, adapting somewhere else, adapting the scope, adapting the resources, adapting some level of quality to a degree. Don't love that, but actually some bugs are acceptable. And it's about that negotiation that comes on. What's so important? The good old project management triangle. You can have it quick, but it won't be high quality if you want it cheap. Those sorts of things. You've got to have those compromises. And I think anything is possible, but there's got to be a compromise in making it. And I think often we get caught up in, we want everything perfect by a date that no one ever really promised to start with.
Someone might have promised it, Russell. That's the problem, right?
Well, someone might have appeared to have promised it somewhere to someone, some point, yes.
The silver bullet will automate all the things and Agile makes us fast.
I think the thing with hard deadlines is the fact that, as you've mentioned, is the compromise. You know, what has to give? You know, is it development? Is it quality? Is it the testing that's covered? You know, if it really is that hard deadline, then it needs to either be well organized so that everything is covered, or there have to be compromises. Something usually has to give with deadlines, be it either the deadline slips or something within the project has to go. I haven't come across something that has gone to plan so that everything is in there to the highest quality by a set deadline. I don't know if anyone else has got experience of that.
I haven't, because the definition of quality always improved, or what was in scope always got refined further, or features got enhanced beyond things. So you kind of, you use whatever time you've got available, the best way of phrasing it.
So if it's when you get asked for estimates, right? How long will it take to test all these things? Well, how long have I got?
Risk-based testing approaches.
Yeah.
I can test something in 1 minute. It just won't give you much confidence in it. I can test it in 100 years. I'd be wasting a lot of your time and money. So where do you want it?
Actually, one time that I have had a really hard deadline is when a project ran out of money. You know, that there was no more money in the actual pot. So you finish at the end of the day, basically. Although actually what happened was that the PM sort of said, okay, developers, you know, you stop work on Friday evening. And I said, well, don't you want any testing to be done with that? And he went, good point. How long have you got? How long do you need? So I said, oh, you know, I'll have half a day. So developers finished at midday and I had the afternoon to test it before the deadline.
Hope you didn't find any bugs.
No, and yeah, I don't think I did actually. That it was fairly mature, the software, but yeah.
I found it so interesting what Chris just said. So how long will it take? How much time do I have? Because that's one impact that I experienced of deadlines, especially of deadlines where you maybe had the experience, okay, they are a very bad thing or a very punishing thing that a lot of developers at least will go with very, very high and exaggerated estimates because they know, okay, based on what I think now, there will be a deadline set. And if I can't deliver until then I have a problem or it gets bad for me. So I wonder how can we prevent that circle of problems? Because in the end, it will go towards, yeah, it's done when it's done. And I heard a lot of developers say that, which isn't very good for planability or accountability or anything.
No, it's not. And I guess it's preaching agile again, I guess, but it's kind of it's inspecting and adapting. It's looking how far you're getting versus what you've got to do. And it's continuously reflecting back on that kind of forecast, avoiding the plan part to make sure that you can adapt. And actually, if something's taking longer, then you change scope as you go. You don't wait. You've got to make decisions. You've got to look at efficiencies as you go. Adjust because maybe something's more complicated than you think. It's got more bugs than was forecast, or something we expected to be quite simple because it was building an extension on top of something already. We found out the thing you're extending is fragile. And obviously you don't know that until you start looking. So it's kind of constantly adapting the plan. And if your deadline is fixed for contractual, legal, sales-related reasons, then something's got to give. You can't get something for nothing. And as we said, you can do more risk-based testing, so you could do less tests. But that means probably your quality assurance side of it, your quality understanding is going to be more known. You could do more resources. Sometimes you can't do that. And sometimes more, well, is it 9 men don't make a baby quicker? That sort of expression, or 9 women even don't make a baby quicker. So sometimes adding more people to the problem doesn't actually make anything different. It can actually make it more complicated. I've seen adding people slow things down, not speed it up. So you've got to look at kind of all the levers you've got, you can pull figure out what the best one is, but it's
and that's different. That's different adapting. Depending on the culture and the folks. Because for some projects and programs and companies I've worked in, the deadline has always been mandated, and you are unable to push it back or query it or question it. And you're very much, as the tester in this instance, you're only there to provide the information, but you also have to do all of the things in that time, and that is an immovable object. And you saying it can't be done, or it won't be done, or that's not possible, or we should do this thing in the future, is going to fall on deaf ears, because there's this whole concept of committing to stuff, and the business and the money has been all tied in, and these people don't want to hear it. They've got no time for it. And that's a very, very difficult situation to be in, isn't it? Because you want to maintain your integrity. I don't want anything I've worked on to be released that hasn't met a certain level of quality that we've agreed on, that we want to be able to be proud of, that goes. But it's that compromise is very different when it's a collective compromise and we've been pragmatic versus we've been told it has to get shipped right now, regardless of those things. And we probably know that we're going to get beaten with a stick if it comes back with problems. That's a very toxic environment, but it happens, right?
It does happen. I guess I'm in a luxurious world where sometimes I get to define the quality standard things have to adhere to. And that is creating the problem for teams, as in you've got to do X, Y, and Z, and they've only got time to do X and Y. So you're creating the problem for them if you're that leader, creating the strategy that says you've got to test for resilience, accessibility. You've got to do things that are future-proofed so that we can use automation and so on. And actually, they've got a deadline. It's next week. And the thing hasn't come in. Testers haven't seen it yet. You've said they've got to do all this before it can be released.
There's a lot of short-termism sometimes we come across and stuff. And I think we've become, it's like a chicken and egg thing. Like, how do we fix the situation? Well, we've set ourselves a target to do this thing by this date. And if we don't do this thing, we can't continue or we don't get paid. So we have to do that thing. But we're doing that by compromising the future quality of these things. We're literally creating debt by doing these things and by cutting these corners today. And we're going to pay for that in the future. But I see, it's an infuriating thing to deal with, isn't it?
It is infuriating, and obviously you do retrospectives and you say you won't do the same thing again. The amount of retrospectives I've done saying we won't do this project like this before again, the very next project, and you point it out, and they go, ah, yes, but the deadline. And you're just like, this is just the definition of stupidity now, isn't it? Keep doing the same thing and expect different results. Balancing act, though, it comes back down to that context of negotiating these far lines, trying to persuade people the value of things, pointing out what can be done or what can't be done. We talked about development there. It takes a certain amount of time to do something. There's no way to cut that corner from like 1,000 hours to 2 hours. It just isn't possible. Yes, there might be some efficiencies that can be done better, some training that would help. But in reality, it's going to take as long as it takes to create it. And then your question is, how, if you've built quality in, then it's going to be quite, the outcome should be nearly there already. If you've just thrown it to testers at the end and haven't got them involved throughout, you're much more likely to get surprises. So that's why that kind of iterative, get things releasable as you go model creates predictability, which you can judge against your deadline. Whereas if you wait until the week before, and then the amount of times I've seen this, do acceptance testing or something, and then find out it's can spanners, can't log in or something else like that, then guess what? Your deadline is massively at risk. Project delivery is massively at risk. So if you can do iterative models, you're much more likely to be able to predict and make that compromise choice where you can, which is better than absolutely completely destroying deadlines. Man, I've got phobia of people that release things just because they were terrible. And I guess that's one of the things, the advantages you had with Big Bang. They got it and realized how shocking it was. They were never going to let near production. When it's had some form of testing, people are much more happy. Oh, it's been tested. But that doesn't mean anything without context, as we said. So I kind of get a bit frustrated. The iterative model is great in many ways, but you've got to use it well. If you abuse it, it'll actually cause you more problems in the long run.
Yeah, it sounds like deadlines aren't that problematic when there is trust and collaboration, because then you can actually negotiate and then you can even share, oh, look, here's a problem I'm facing. Here's something that goes different than we planned. And maybe you can even share, oh, I didn't know what to plan at all because this is a totally new territory for me.
If you don't hit that deadline, you don't get that feedback, right? And we need that feedback. That's how we're going. We need it. It's a balance, isn't it?
Yeah, but exactly. And I guess it is, what is your deadline? Because I've seen, obviously, the gates for the quality. It's not ready to test by X, but it's not going into testing. Those sorts of kind of logic. The deadline for testing, we won't test it this sprint if you don't get it done by the first 4 days of the sprint. I've seen some crazy deadlines by testers even. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemies.
And then again, deadlines are always a commitment too, right? I'm just thinking of having deadlines and knowing exactly, okay, everyone will just ignore it. That's also something that will cause frustration at some end. I guess for testers, if they test last, then it's very frustrating to know, oh, I have a deadline. I should have something to work with at that point, and I know exactly, yeah, I don't need to count on it. So maybe a deadline itself is also part of collaboration and communication and trust. So I trust everyone that they will give their best to commit to it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, isn't it, where lots of time is consumed. And if it's for the done, as mentioned before, but 99% of it's done for the development, you get 1% for the test, it's going to struggle. If you do the other way around, 1% for development, 99 for test, it's going to be a struggle. So you've got to estimate that work together more. You've got to plan together more, build together more, and then actually your value gets released earlier and better.
In the older style sort of waterfall model, the other problem with sort of deadlines and testing at the end is the fact that sometimes testers are therefore then accused of being the people that held up the deadline, or, you know, you haven't completed the testing by the, no, and it needs to be remembered that developers, you know, the chances are that because we didn't have it early enough, we didn't complete the testing, or we found too many bugs because there wasn't the quality built in from the first. So at least Agile sort of helps sort of share the sort of quality aspect of it and allow testers that sort of flexibility in not being accused of being the people accountable for holding up the deadline, which the older style models, waterfall models, are can be guilty of.
They do that a lot. It's like if development gets extended, but then testing gets shrunk, but it's testing at the end that's holding it up still.
Yeah, that's because the quality isn't there.
It went into the environment and didn't work for 2 weeks. Yeah. Or you couldn't do a third of the processes that you're meant to do, or something else like that. Yeah. That was a classic one from my early days of testing. So would you give people deadlines?
Yes, I do. Yes. It all the time.
Well, I was going to say, do you give yourself deadlines as well?
Yes.
I never stick to my own ones.
Though. I never stick to my own ones.
I do, depending on how my brain has decided to prioritize the things. Like, for example, if I am responsible for providing sustenance that is healthy for my children, I have a deadline to get that food ready by a certain time. Otherwise, I'm going to give them something that's very unhealthy, and I can only get away with that once in a blue moon. Otherwise, my children are going to be unhealthy forever, and that's a terrible thing to do. So when I've got that sort of thing, that my brain goes, yes, this is a time you must be ready to get those things ready and get it sorted. Whereas it might be like, hey, Chris, you should probably have another drink of water. You haven't had one for 3 hours. My brain's gone, yeah, it's fine. Just what's another hour? It doesn't make any difference. It's like you clicking on Netflix at like 11 o'clock at night and you think, oh, just keep on going. There's no deadline for going to sleep. And, you know, there's a lot of subconscious stuff that happens with your own personal stuff. But when you're working with people and you're trying to be more conscious and intentional about these things, and you've got consequences that affect other people, I feel like those deadlines, the accountability comes into play. And so answering the question before, do I set deadlines for people? Yes, but it's not a case of you need to do this work by 2 months' time and then you don't talk for 2 months. It's a conversation piece. You ask how people are getting on. You ask if you need to help them. If they need any help, you sort of provide assistance as you go through. If you can provide assistance, you know, I might know nothing. I might be a real hindrance and start talking about Eurovision or something. But it's setting deadlines is useful to the point. But yeah, the impact, the importance of those things, and all the other contributing factors. Like if we've only got so many hours in the day, and something's more important, well, what is the trade-off? Because say, for example, I have had some team members report to me and they need to do a presentation for something, but they're also 100% in a scrum team and they're expected to do all of this testing. And, you know, 2-3 sprints have been planned up ahead. What's the trade-off? Is it this presentation that's going to go to a client? Yes, probably it is. But the context of their team, there needs to be that communication. They need to be informed that these things are going. Do we put items that aren't actually the teams into the scrum board? Who knows? But it's finding that way of working. Communication, transparency, collaboration. That's what makes these things work together, and a shared understanding of the consequences of what happens if it doesn't happen, if it's late, what we're going to miss if that deadline is hard and fixed, and all these other pieces. It's there. I wouldn't drop a deadline on somebody and then say, get it done or you're in trouble, and then leave it all alone. Like, I don't believe in just that's the goes completely against my t-shirt says quality is everyone's responsibility right now. So let's not go go around and saying that you shouldn't do those things. I think we've sort of said deadlines are important, but
determining which deadline is important for whom and why. So deadlines to ourselves, what's dependent upon us? Kids, that matters more, doesn't it? Well, it matters a lot more than a software project in most cases, in my head at least. So yeah, it is all about context and making sure we can do the right thing. If someone's dependent upon us, communicate. We haven't talked about it much, but the deadlines and many things, it's a two-way communication street. You don't tell someone you're going to miss the deadline. Don't be surprised when they're upset when you miss the deadline. If you keep people in the loop, you can be upset if they get upset when you miss the deadline. I've told someone months up ahead that that deadline is unrealistic. It's not going to be achieved. And I've told them when it is every single month up towards the deadline. And then last week before the deadline, they were upset with me for not telling them. So I have to point them back to all the emails saying that I've been saying for the last 6 months, this deadline is unachievable, unrealistic. We are forecasting 3 months later. And they were surprised. So you just didn't read your emails. I didn't go out of my way to make it more visible to them. So yes, there's lots of things like that. But anyway, I could go on forever. Probably won't. So it's probably time we should wrap up. So thank you very much for listening to us. As always, you can reach out to us at contactus@testinggears.com. You can also find us on various social media channels. We are on Twitter still. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn. We're on Patreon as well, actually. Keep forgetting we're on Patreon. And we're always happy to hear ideas, feedback. You know, what do you think about deadlines? When was the last deadline you've had? How do you feel when you miss them? Those are things that are interesting to me. Thank you again for listening to us. Hope you have a pleasant time and come back and listen to us another time.
For now, it's goodbye from the Testing Peers.
Goodbye.